Support for Iditapod, a production of Alaska Public Media, comes from MVFCU. Experience the MVFCU way.
Hello, and welcome to another bonus edition of the Iditapod. I'm Casey Grove. Today, we're going to hear an interview with Nicholas Petit. He's been running at the front of the pack for this year's race, finished in second last year. As of this morning, I'm recording this Wednesday morning, Nick had pulled into Ophir. That's about 350 miles into the race. And KNOM's Ben Matheson talked to him about 40 miles earlier in the race in McGrath. He was feeding his dogs and doing different chores. And just to explain, when you're a reporter out there on the trail, you kind of just talk to these guys when you get a chance. And often then that's when they're out with their team feeding them and doing the different sled maintenance and any other kind of chores that they have to do before they can get a rest and then get back on the trail. So here's Ben Matheson talking with Nicholas Petit. There is another reporter that sort of jumps in somewhere in the middle there. Sounds like a British guy. I'm not sure what his name is, but we'll find out later. You have Ben and him sort of trading off, asking questions of Nick. Again, this is an extended interview with Nicholas Petit in McGrath.
I mean, your team's been moving really fast. How do you think the last day has been?
Good. I'm doing, you know, I never know what I'm going to do, right? And so I figured on the way, I was like, Tin Creek's too close because I camped at the water spot on the hill, you know, Rainy Pass. And then, so I figured I'd get myself a nice night's rest and I got to sleep and all that. There was firewood there.
So you've been, you've been camping all race now.
Yeah.
And I don't think you've done that before, have you?
I kind of learned how to camp last year on that missing checkpoint deal. You know, Eagle Island.
Okay.
I've never really been into camping all that much, but, you know, Rainy Pass is a zoo. I can't get any rest when all the nice people are trying to talk to you in the night. Mm-hmm. But it's not really constructive. So, yeah, it just kind of all worked out on its own where I'm at right now.
Sorry if you already answered this, but you can have 24 here?
It's in the option. I declared it. I don't think we have to declare, but I declared a 24.
And a 3, and a 4, and a 5, and whatever.
So do you, why McGrath? You did the same thing, were you 24 here last year?
I'm not a big fan of the zoo at the Cottonwoods. The people are really nice, but too many mushrooms. So I never send anything to the Cottonwoods. I mean, not enough for a significant stay at all.
So is it here or Ophir?
It's here, Ophir, Iditarod, Shagaluk, all the way to Caltech. Because I don't know what the trail's going to do when I'm sending out the drop bags, you know? I'd rather be set up for anything.
Part of the reason that you've been camping is to get away from other mushers who might have other dogs that might be a bit sick or might have diarrhea in the warm weather?
That's the byproduct of it, but no, just, there's no reason to hang out in a place where you can't get any rest for yourself or dogs when, last year I was pretty happy with how my camping worked out, so I figured we'd apply it a little more.
Dogs sleep better when they're on the trail?
Yeah. Well, we weren't really on up on Rainy Pass, we were on the trail, I guess. But next to a stream, you know. A stream we were gonna have to cross. So I could stay in Rainy Pass and get to the stream and get the booties wet and have a mental challenge with the dogs. Or I could get there, unbooty, make a camp, and then before taking off, I just took my leaders and showed them there's nothing to this. So I didn't have a battle trying to get across water. I just took two of them over there, and they're like, no, no. Oh, okay. And then everybody follows the leader. Yeah, you just pick your battles, you know.
Could there be an advantage to resting here for a bit and letting other teams go and break trail between Oprah and Iditarod?
I think that's what the snow machines went that way for. They made a trail.
How have the dogs been doing on hydration with the temperatures?
Yeah.
They're drinking. Mm-hmm. There's lots of snow on the trail, so they can dip. And we did Cusco, which they can't dip, so they had to learn to take care of themselves a little bit.
So. Mm-hmm. You've talked before about letting your dogs run as fast as they want to run.
Yeah.
How are you managing speed this year?
Sitting on my butt most of the time. If it gets really crunchy or something, I might take a couple strokes of a ski pole. But really, I'm not gonna change the way they move. So might as well just let them focus on what they're up to and roll with that.
Can you?
Have you felt not having two dogs, you know, down to 14, has it made a difference?
Yeah. My fingers are in better shape. Fewer booty suit put on. I weigh 150 pounds on a wet, fat day, so fewer dogs to take care of can't be a bad thing. Food drops a little lighter. I didn't get any fines for being too heavy. And it's just less work.
But it doesn't seem to have affected how much power you've got going over the range?
No, just one less dingle. You know?
How are they eating?
Well, you know, these ones, they'll eat in a minute.
Thanks for listening to that extended interview with Nicholas Petit in McGrath. I'm Casey Grove. Please stay tuned for another episode of the iDataPod.